Mark, 11. Mark.
He goes for it.
Okay, we finally. The only ones Bloom has any success with are under 2.
Never mind.
Mark 11. The reason we're going to read about a fig tree. But this is what, when I became, in my mind, I was the cursed fig tree last night. I can't explain it. But we're going to study it. Maybe somebody will discern something out of it. They was returning for Passover. Anyway. And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. I think that's what Paul was talking about when he said, be instant in season and out of season. I and you, and because of me, you've gotten by with believing that the figs or the fruit of the tree is going to be sometime in the future. Jesus came to a green fig tree with leaves on it, and because it didn't have any figs on it, he cursed it. And it was out of time. I mean, it wasn't supposed to have figs on it. You don't have the right to think in terms of time anymore. But at some time in the future, then I will bear fruit. Nor do I. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah.
I was thinking of that's always compared to Israel, you know, and the nation of Israel, and the idea that...
We are the nation.
Yeah, you know, the idea that the kingdom was there in their midst, and they were thinking it was in the future.
Amen.
And they weren't doing kingdom stuff because the Messiah wasn't there yet, and yet there he was.
Amen.
And it was the same kind of deal as with us too.
Amen. Now the next thing he did is he cleansed the temple, but now let's go on and see what happened. What's the lesson of the fig tree? Verse 20. This is the next day. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, Have faith in God. What the hell is he talking about? What the hell? They say, There's the fig tree, and it's dried up. And he says to them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, then, there's more of it there, but...
It's always my sign to believe in.
I want you to think about this. Let's go to Genesis 1.
Something I saw there that also clicked with me last night was that those things which he saith shall come to pass. It's like when something is spoken, if you don't see it right away, then faith subsides. But this seems to indicate that you have to wait for it and believe while it's coming.
In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Now look at verse 6. And God said, let there be firmament. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters, etc., etc. Verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights. Verse 6. Well, you get the idea. Now, who did God say it to?
Himself.
Why did he say it? He could have just thought it.
Because the word is in there somehow.
He's speaking into existence.
Remember, we've talked before that if matter is spirit slowed down, then language or words are the interface between spirit and language. I mean, spirit and matter. If everything that's existent, possible to be existent, exists in spirit, then in order for them to be made manifest, it has to be spoken. It has to be said. And Jesus said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And God said, let there be light. What I have created in you is a bunch of fearful wimps worried about whether or not what you say is the word of God or in God's will. And so you run around afraid to say, afraid to pray, afraid you're going to say something that's not God, or really you're afraid that if it doesn't come to pass, then your wimpy faith will be tested. And so you don't pray for things. You don't say, because you're afraid that if you say and it doesn't happen, the fact that you are in unbelief already will be revealed. And so therefore, you ask, but you receive not. You ask in your head, you want, you desire in your head, but you receive not because you believe you will use them on your own lusts, because you believe they're still two separate identities. Am I communicating?
Yeah.
You understand how your lack of faith, your living in unbelief, is revealed by the lack of prayer, by the lack of saying. You pray for somebody, and you do the same damn thing the church does, or the lot of the church. You say, if it's God's will. The moment you put, if it's God's will, in the prayer, you have created, you have automatically lived in doubt. God doesn't care if you pray, and if you... I hate to say this. I'll say it anyway. And a certain, you know, I hate the charismatic theology, because it's the doctrine of success. And the, but I guarantee you that from God's standpoint, He is happier with them than He is with us. Because we are trying to act like something we're not. They are saying something they want, and they say it. You want it, but are afraid to say it because you're afraid, I don't know who knows why. God doesn't care if it's not in His will if you say it. Just like you don't care if it's the little baby and the little kid, if I mean, just be you, just say it. You want money? Ask for it. Say it. Speak it. You want to be rich? Speak it. You want to have a girlfriend? Speak it. Not, oh, if it's God's will. You speak what you want. And God said, and God said, and God said. Why? I heard somebody once say that if, you know, this is a really bad writing. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. A, the sun. B, the moon. C, the stars. D, man. But He repeated it over and over and over with an incredible amount of redundancy. Why? Because He showed you. And God said. And God said. And Jesus said, whosoever shall say, it shall come to pass. Do you realize who you are, what your inheritance is? Do you realize that you can bring forth from nothing anything in the universe? Do you realize that the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in you?
I realized something last night, and that's this thing about healing that, and I have this Barbara, and it's my fear that stops me because I, you know, I was, when we were praying for healing for you, it was like I knew that if I went and prayed, it would be. But I was afraid that I would have to take on the pain, and I was, you know, it's like fear is what, but I knew that it would come to pass, and it's like this had happened with Barbara. Right. You know, and somehow that fear, I don't like that fear. I like that fear to be seen through or something so that it doesn't stop
you. All that fear is unbelief.
Yeah.
There's something that came to my mind was this scene in Altered States, from the movie Altered States. At the end, the guy is turning into some weird stuff, and his wife is reaching out to him, and she's turning into all these weird feels, and it's all in this strange hallucinatory kind of thing, and he's refusing to accept it, and he's banging his arm against the wall, and every time he bangs, he kind of changes back a little more into what, you know, to a real human being. Yeah, it's like, once we speak these things, then that's the response to your sensory perception.
Man.
You go, this is not it, you know. This is not the way it is, you know. And it's like an explosion of faith or something that blows away all this stuff.
But think of the power. Remember, I've told you before, and none of you believe it, but if the space were removed from everything in the universe, everything in the universe would fit into a dot that's smaller than your eye can see. That means that all power that's in the universe and a billion times more is available in your word. Because the revelation is that all that everything is spirit slowed down.
Now, can that word be used counter to God's will?
Of course. The gifts and calling of God are given without repentance. It's counter to God's will for you at the moment, But it can't be used counter to God's will in toto. It's simply what it may be appear to be counter to God's will at that moment is simply the antagonism of the truth in you.
I think that's our fear, is we don't want to do anything against God's will or get out of his line or something.
You can do nothing against the truth.
Or we think we might, so we don't do anything.
I think we just don't want to look bad. We just don't want to... You know, I mean, this thing when you said that about you're afraid your unbelief will be revealed. We don't want our unbelief revealed here, or that our lack of faith, or our poverty of...
You know, we know so much about the revelation. We know so much about the mystery. We've been blessed beyond comprehension. Now test it. Test it. Put it to the test. Speak it. Say it.
I was feeling last night afraid, you know, we put so much into this God now, we really just don't want him to fail in any way. And so we'd rather not test him.
Okay, now that's how this, that's, I'm glad you said that. Because now we get the tie-in between sin.
When you said that the other night, I prayed the other night about this thing about sin. I don't even know how to even broach the subject, you know, and
We confuse our busted idols with sin. Now, this is the arena where all that can be exposed. Let me read this again. Verily I say unto you, first of all it says, have faith in God. You know what it says in the Greek? It says, have the faith of God. You remember, faith in God is kindergarten. You believe in him that you might be justified by the faith of him. Okay, there isn't one of you that doesn't believe in him. You have faith in God. That's fine, that's cool, that's nice, that's... Now it's time to go onto a new plateau. Now have the faith of God. And God said... Have the faith of God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Now that's the kicker. How do you stop doubting? Only one way. The only way you ever stop doubting, the only way ever in belief is ever revealed, is by trying it out.
At this point, I feel like at that point, you're a fool for Christ, because to try it out, you've got to make a lot of mistakes. You got to look stupid. You got to get down into where you are and let it come out. And then be a fool, because you are a fool. And then let it be tested, and let people laugh at you, make a mistake, fail. But eventually, you're there.
Because you can do nothing against the truth. That's not negotiable. All things work together for good. To them that love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose. That's not negotiable. Well, that means all things except. No, it doesn't. Well, it means all things except always pain. No, it doesn't. Well, it means all things except always propensities. No, it doesn't. It means all things work together for good. You can do nothing against the truth. I can do nothing against the truth. When that's settled in your mind, then doubt is impossible. But you're still like the frightened little kid. You all saw them in school. They were so frightened. They were so wimped out. You couldn't stand to be around them. Everything they did, they were self-conscious of it. And they'd be their most boring. We are getting so boring to God, he's about to puke. Because we're trying to act like something. God just wants you to be you in all its explosive wonderment.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
For verily I say unto you, whatsoever, whosoever shall say, now, another interesting thing is tied into this whole equation, however. Doesn't make any sense to the natural mind why all these things should be tied together. And when you stand praying, forgive. Forgive. If you have aught against any. Now notice, I want you to read that very carefully. It doesn't say aught against the brethren. It says, ought against anyone, any place, any time. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have ought against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Do you see the tie-in? Say, doubt, forgive. What causes the doubt? Subconsciously.
Guilt.
Guilt.
Because you haven't, you know, you've got the things going on.
Yeah. Guilt. And that forgiveness is the thing that prevents love from being.
Amen. Now, do you understand? If you have aught against any. Well, God damn it, he raped my little sister and he cut off my testicles and he forgive him.
That's what it is tied together.
You're right.
No, but I mean, the idea of faith. You don't have any faith if you're still.
It's the first time John's ever thrown me the finger.
It's the second time. Doing that with everything in this.
That's wonderful.
You like that?
Well, I think it's.
This is great.
Do you understand the tie-in?
I do.
Do you understand the power? You haven't been called to fear. You haven't been called to walk in temerity. Never believe that meekness is temerity. It isn't.
This has something to do with, I used the word simplicity last night in talking to John about something, but I think singleness is the idea that, I mean, all that God requires of us is our obedience on whatever level of life that we have. And if where we are is to, pray for stuff and say, I want this. And
that's fine.
And all that, then that's okay.
I mean, I'll scream and yell at you, but that's fine.
Yeah. Hell is other people.
I mean, can you sense, is there a bubbling? Do you feel a bubbling in you?
Yeah, that's an important connection.
Pretty awesome.
But it's important you recognize the different elements of this. Number one is, you no longer have the excuse of time. I mean, I literally, last night, I was the cursed fig tree. And I was it, and I was the embodiment of all of us. We were the cursed fig tree. Because we'd been depending on our sensory perception with regard to thing. I mean, that's when we finish 3-year cycle, when we do this, when we do that, I have 1,001 things and then 1,000,001 in each of your heads with regard to the progression of time. Yeah. It's not... Well, now Jesus says, in response to the opposite of time, he said, have the faith of God. Whatsoever you say shall be done unto you and done for you. Now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't say anything about whatsoever you say, as long as it's this way. It doesn't say anything in that passage about whether or not it's right, wrong, or indifferent. It says, whatsoever you say, if you believe and do not doubt, it shall be done. Now, forget all the theology you've ever learned. Forget all the right and wrong you've ever learned. Forget anything. Just hear that simple statement. Whatsoever you say shall be done for you. Now forget little child, adolescent, young man, father. Forget all the theology you've ever heard in your entire life. Forget anything you've ever heard me tell you. Whatsoever you say. Now, God said, let's be light, and God said, everything was brought into being by the act of saying. Now, we are those that bring forth from nothing that which exists, and we call it forth. That's what 1 Corinthians says of us. We look not at the things that are seen. Doesn't matter. You want something? Call it forward. Because, I mean... If you're not, you're living in duality. Now God, again, Genesis 1, and God said, and God said, and God said, why is all a redundancy? For one reason, to show you this simple lesson. Who's he talking to? Again, he could have done it by thinking it. But he said it. Well, that's just a metaphor. No. Think about these things.
Like, you know, say not in 4 months the white the fields.
Right, the fields are ready now. Yeah. I want you to seriously think about what you want to say to God. I want you to seriously think about what you want to call into existence. Forget all the things you know about prayer. What do you want?